This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about climate science. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. The field of paleoceanography looks to the bottom of the ocean as a time capsule that contains important information about our planet's past. One of the field's founders and pioneers was the late Sir Nicholas Shackleton. As a grad student in the 1960s, he used new ways of dating seafloor fossils that revolutionized our understanding of the Earth's climate history. Here he is, shortly before he died, talking about how he collected columns of mud, called sediment cores, from beneath the seafloor.
I worked with both cores, just got by dropping pipe over the edge of the ship with a weight on the top, that sort of thing, and drilling from a drilling ship if one wants to go deeper into the sediment.
Nick died from cancer in 2006, before he was able to finish a major project he was very passionate about, drilling for sediment cores off the coast of Portugal. It's an area where the seafloor is especially rich with information. Last fall, reporter Amy Mayer boarded a ship with a team of scientists who set out to finally complete this mission.
We're all gathered on deck, shivering in the cold, as the research vessel Joides Resolution gets ready to ship out. The scientists around me are excited for their grand adventure. This expedition has been 13 years in the making. Deckhands bring in the massive ropes that have tethered us to a dock. Tugboats pull the 470-foot ship toward the open ocean, and the port of Lisbon disappears in the distance. The International Ocean Discovery Program's Expedition 397 is underway. But we're not going that far. After about 12 hours, we come to a stop. We're maybe 100 miles from the Portuguese coast. Geologists call this area the Iberian Margin. Over the next 2 months, we'll be sitting at four distinct spots, drilling down into the ocean floor and pulling back up those columns of mud called sediment cores. The Joides Resolution is a floating 1970s oil rig completely remodeled in the 80s to drill for science instead of fossil fuels. Towering on its deck is a 200-foot-tall derrick. It's a big, open, ladder-like pyramid, what you might see on an oil field. The ship carries a mile's worth of pipe that gets pieced together section by section. Those pieces form what's called the drill string. It turns and turns, making its way from the top of the tower through a hole in the ship. Then it plunges through 15,000 feet of water, all the way to the bottom of the ocean. Once it reaches the sea floor, it drills into that sediment, starting a hole. Next, the crew drops a 30-foot-long plastic tube into the pipe. When that enters the hole, it pushes deeper until its entire length is filled with mud. After that tube comes back up, the drillers drop the next one into the pipe. One by one, they go ever deeper into the hole, more than 1,500 feet into this sediment. The reason we're drilling in this location is that the seafloor here has a high sedimentation rate. That's the speed at which sand, pollen, and tiny critters settle onto the seafloor, creating, over millennia, the layers of information the scientists are looking for. That process here is about 10 times faster than in other parts of the ocean. David Hodell of the University of Cambridge in the United Kingdom is one of two co-chief scientists trying to accomplish the work Nick Shackleton started. One day, in one of the ship's least noisy labs, David told me about the groundbreaking work Nick Shackleton did in this very location in the 1990s. On that trip, Nick didn't have the kind of equipment this ship has, so he couldn't dig nearly as deep. But he made a startling discovery.
He demonstrated that the surface record looked exactly like Greenland, and the benthic, the bottom record, looked exactly like Antarctica.
David says Nick realized the mud he dug up from just beneath the ocean floor revealed the same details as had been found in ice cores.
it must have been like a eureka moment to say, aha, you know, this looks, you know, exactly like the Greenland ice core record, and this looks like the Arctic ice core record.
It takes a lot of chemical analyses and hours at microscopes to analyze samples. But David says there's no other spot in the world's oceans that captures records like these.
It's kind of mind-blowing a bit that, you know, one place in the ocean, one sediment core, can have links and components to both of the poles as well as the European continent. But that's what makes the Siberian margin so special.
Before Nick's discovery, details about polar air and water temperatures came from ice cores. That meant researchers could only study conditions as far back as there was ice. 800,000 years in Antarctica and less than 150,000 years in Greenland. Now they can use the sediment from here to create a picture of what the poles were like when Earth was a lot warmer. That will help make current climate models more robust. A better understanding of past climates might also help people prepare for the changes that are coming. It's why Nick Shackleton wanted to drill here and get mud that's millions of years old.
And so we're just kind of fulfilling, I feel, you know, his wish, his dream.
The late scientist's work, even his spirit, looms large over this mission. The other co-chief scientist, Fatima Abranch, is a researcher at the Portuguese Institute of Sea and Atmosphere. She sailed with Nick Shackleton in the mid-1990s. She says they basically worked around the clock, pulling up cores and taking samples to study.
We would be 4 hours working, 4 hours sampling, 4 hours resting, 4 hours like. It was like 4, 4, 4. And we sampled also together, the two of us. And it was a lot of fun.
She has a photo of them preparing to drop a pipe off the side of a boat. Nick's in shorts and sandals, which, by the way, would not fly today for safety reasons. Fatima says he only put on lace-up shoes when he was performing music.
He took it so seriously that that was the only time he put a suit and wear shoes.
Alongside his scientific success, he was also an accomplished woodwind player.
He once told me that music was his life. Science was his hobby.
Some hobby. His groundbreaking work inspired many, including the 24 scientists Fatima and David gathered to drill the Iberian margin and unlock their own discoveries. They hope to show how the Earth's climate changed every 1,000 years over the past 3 to 4 million years. That's a super detailed record. They may also learn how those layers of mud document changes in Earth's orbit. We've been at sea for 2 weeks, seeing tube after tube of mud come up from the bottom, as many as 50 per hole, and we do several holes at each location. Every hour or two, the drill crew is handing cores off to science technicians. They carefully measure each core and cut it into 3 to 4 foot long sections. The sections begin the journey through the ship's many labs on tracks that feed the cylinders into different machines. After that, the technicians split them lengthwise.
Look at this stuff right here. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's gonna be so dang.
At last, the cores are splayed open, exposed to human eyes for the first time. Each core is different.
They have blue sediments to totally white chalk full of forans to reddish sediments full of clasts.
Forams, or foraminifera, and nanofossils help establish roughly what time period the sediment comes from. Quickly, it becomes clear the scientists have far exceeded the goal of 3 to 5 million-year-old mud. In the core description lab, Jerry McManus from Columbia University sees unexpected things in the mud.
We suddenly recovered several cores that were quite a bit older than that, older than 10 million years, maybe 14 million years, and they were spectacularly variable.
Light and dark layers of greens and browns with all sorts of goodies inside.
In the sands were big chunks of mollusk shells and things that clearly would have tumbled down from somewhere very close to the shore or very close to the surface. And this was all a big surprise, and these were beautiful sediments.
Despite the thrill of the unexpected, the pace of shipboard science can be relentless. Everyone works a 12-hour shift. The goal? To maximize how much sediment is collected. Fatima and David handpicked the members of the science party, who come from nearly a dozen countries. They sought a team with wide-ranging experience and expertise. Fatima says that was Nick Shackleton's way, too. She says Nick always modeled working together as a team toward the best science, putting aside competition.
I think this is a really good lesson for the young people.
On this mission, Fatima and David have fostered a similar environment of mutual respect and shared investment. And from students on up to the most experienced scientists, everyone noticed. Postdoctoral researcher Mei Huang grew up in Taiwan and did her PhD in Hong Kong. Working on a team that dissolves the academic hierarchy means a lot to her.
When I grew up, we were not allowed to kind of ask questions or sort of challenge our seniors. But out here, everyone has different experience, but everyone is equal and everyone can contribute in their own way.
She shares a lab with a tenured professor who greatly values her programming skills. Graduate student Celeste Pallone also finds the shipboard atmosphere has fostered close relationships.
It was great to be able to, like, talk to and, like, actually become friends with people who are at different stages in their scientific careers.
Here on the ship, Celeste works in the core description lab on the opposite shift from her Columbia University advisor, Jerry McManus. But back home, Celeste already has her PhD project underway, using a core from off the Pacific coast of South America. Jerry says, once again, Nick Shackleton's legacy hovers. Back in 2004, Jerry and Nick were supposed to sail together, but Nick fell ill and couldn't go. Jerry says Nick was really only interested in one site. They drilled it.
And the connection to this very day is that Celeste Pallone is doing her thesis work on that same site, which was the one site that Nick Shackleton wanted to study from that expedition.
After 2 months at sea, the scientists gather to bring in the final core. Everyone's a little giddy. They've collected 4 miles worth of mud.
Hey guys, where's David?
David. 3 days later, tugs pull us into the port of Tarragona, Spain. Pallets of cores are shipped off to labs and the scientists head home. The seafaring adventure is over, and the group has planned many intertwined projects. Co-chief David Hodel cautions they could take a while.
There might be some flashy things that emerge, you know, shortly after the expedition, but I'm more interested in kind of the slow burn stuff.
The studies that might take years or decades. The youngest members of this crew will mentor another generation of paleoceanographers, further extending Nick Shackleton's legacy.
That story was reported by Amy Mayer. During the expedition, she was the onboard outreach officer.